Welcome to MTG Pro Tutor, your gathering of insights, tips, and advice from renowned players and community icons. Connect with venerated teachers to gain the knowledge you need to improve your skills. Now, here's your planar guide and personal tutor, Sean Penrod.
What's up, everybody? Hello and welcome. This is episode 302 of the MTG Pro Tutor Podcast. I'm Sean Penrod, your host. So happy you are joining me today. And this will be a really short intro here because I'm actually out of town and I still want to get to you this episode. We have a great guest lined up for you today. And if the audio quality here is a little bit different than you're used to, it's because, like I said, I'm traveling and I don't have any of my fancy schmancy audio equipment with me. So anyways, but before we dive into the episode, I do want to say thank you so much, first of all, to you for listening to the show. It really means a lot to me. There's been a lot of really cool events recently, and I love connecting with the guests and sharing their stories with you because I want you to get better at magic. I'm hoping that you can take away something, some tip, some tricks, some mindsets that these winners employ to achieve results and apply them to your magic game so that you can get the results you want, whether that's at FNM, but ideally we focus here on getting you into a Grand Prix and day two and top eight so you can qualify for the Pro Tours. So thank you for listening. I absolutely love connecting with you each and every week. Another huge thank you goes out to Paragon City Games. Check them out at ParagonCityGames.com. They are a proud sponsor of the show. They provide the prize support for our Sealed League, which is going on right now. We're in the general round, so all the participants are playing games and it's just really fun to, get on Mint Go and play Magic. So that's going on. And again, thank you to Paragon City Games for providing the prizes. And then, of course, I want to say thank you to the patrons. You mean the world to me and are a huge contributor in keeping the show going. So thank you so much for all you do. Well, that's really it as far as announcements go. So without further ado, let's bring in our amazing guests, sit down and talk about Magic. What's up, everybody? I'm super excited to have our guest with us today. Our guest has been playing competitive Magic since he was 16 years old. He's made top 16 at 2 Grand Prix and just made his first top 8 when he got 6th place at GP Brussels 2018. Coming to us from Maia de Montcal, Spain, prodigies near and far, let's welcome the one, the only, Nils Gutierrez von Porat. Nils, how you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Excellent. Yeah. Are you ready to delve into your mind and share with the audience tips and tricks to take their game to the next level?
Yes.
Excellent. Now, prodigies, if you want to connect with Nils, the best place to do that will be in the Facebook group. So go to mtgpro2.com/Facebook group and Nils will be there. You can do a post and tag him in there and say thanks for being on the show or ask him a question, but that is where you can find Nils for sure. So Nils, we would love to talk about non-magic stuff first. So tell us, are you going to school? Are you working? What's going on for you out there in Maia de Montcal?
So I am studying at the university, math degree.
Excellent.
Maths degree. Yep. And outside of magic, I love to play the piano too.
Really? That's fun.
Yeah.
How long have you been playing piano?
Since I was 10, probably. Wow. 10 years.
Yeah. That's cool. Do you do classical or contemporary? What do you play?
Classical.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Neat. So you play piano and you're going to school studying math. And then on the side, when you sneak it in, you play some magic.
Yes.
Very cool. Well, on that magic note, we would love to learn your background, your history with the game. So take us back in time and tell us the story. Give us all the details of the first time you ever saw or played with magic cards.
So I started playing magic when I was 9, 10 years old. I have two brothers who are older than me, and we had also a friend he was playing this cool game, and we started from there. Like we bought some packs, so it was, I think it was Shadowmoor, no, Lorwyn. Yeah, started playing with an elf deck, and from there we started playing against each other.
Nice. So you had a friend, and he was the one that was playing the game, and then he kind of introduced your older brothers and then you into it, and that's how you all started playing.
Yes.
Yeah. Very cool. And that was back in Lorwyn? That was your first set?
Yes. It was my first deck was from, Lorwyn.
Cool. And that's when Planeswalkers first came out, right? Or did they come out in World Wake? I think it was Lorwyn, right?
Yes.
So you've never played Magic without Planeswalkers. Look at you.
No.
That's cool, man.
But in my first deck, I didn't have any.
Oh, no, of course not. But the set you came in on, that. Well, that's pretty neat. So as you started playing more and more Magic, because you said you came in around, 10 or so, but then you started playing competitive at 16. We mentioned that in the bio. When you started to be more competitive, when you started to kind of work your way up, what challenges did you face? What was hard for you as a new Magic player?
I started playing competitively when I was 16. In my first GP, it was kind of difficult because I didn't have any buys, obviously. And it was the first tournament that had 9 rounds I played. So that really, like in round 7, I already was really tired.
Yeah.
So that was something, different. And also, the level was different.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not in the first rounds of the tournament, but after that, there was more level, so it was more difficult.
So, go on.
That's it.
Yeah, so how did you overcome that? Like you said, for example, 9 rounds in one day was a new experience, and by round 7, you're already tired. And now here you are, playing Grand Prix, making top 8. So what did you do to, increase your Magic stamina?
So I started testing a lot more. That for being with, in my first GP, I didn't test at all. I played a good deck, but it wasn't tuned. So I started tuning a lot my decks. First of all, I didn't play Magic Online.
Mm-hmm.
So I played Cockatrice, which...
Oh, yeah. I've used that. Yeah.
I played a lot there. And, I tuned more my deck. I started to have better results. But not great results. Like, better results, but not great. And I think that the thing that changed a lot... my results was Magic Online, actually.
Ooh, okay.
You keep more on track your results, and there is also much more level, it's better testing than Cockatrice.
higher quality players and stuff like that, for sure.
So basically I started playing a lot more.
Cool. So as you started playing, more and more Magic from the beginning until now, what's been your favorite set?
My favorite set? Constructed or draft? Or
just whatever. Whatever set you like, for whatever reason.
I liked a lot Cans of Tarkir because it had Dig for Time and Treasure Cruise, and I loved those cards.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And then along the same lines, you have a favorite card?
Favorite card. I have some. I don't know my favorite card. I have like 5.
Yeah, perfect. One of your favorite cards.
No, Cabal Therapy.
Ooh, good. So, for those of us who don't know, what is it? What does it do? And why do you like it?
It's for 1 mana. It does a sorcery spell. 1 black mana. When it resolves, you name a non-land card and target player reveals his hand and discards all the cards with the same name you see. So all the copies. And it has flashback, sacrifice a creature as the cost.
Dang, there you go. So obviously I'm sure you've used that to good to good extent?
Yeah. Nice. So what I love about the card is that it's, well, it's like a guessing game. When sometimes I have cast the card and you look at your opponent's graveyard and try to figure out what he can have in his hand, and it's cool.
Nice. Yeah, I was gonna say, do you play after you see their hand, or you just play on the first turn and try and guess if you know what deck they're playing? Like, do you just call out the one card that can mess you up and hope that they have it? Like, I'm sure there's a lot that goes into it.
So I normally play this deck with my discard with my favorite pet deck, with Gisnik Fit in Legacy. Mm-hmm. And so obviously the first time I try to guess. And if I have to cast it in the first turn, since it's Legacy, I normally name Brainstorm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good call. That's smart. Brainstorm. That's good. Well, sweet, man. So we learned about your beginnings, some of your favorites, like an early challenge that you faced when you started getting competitive, and then how you kind of overcame that. That's pretty cool. And so obviously your Magic journey has had ups and downs along the way, like everybody else.
Yeah.
And we'd love to learn from both the highs and the lows. So can you take us to a time and share with us your worst Magic moment and what you learned from that experience?
I think it was when I started. I like missed to make day two in three Grand Prix in a row or mm-hmm. something like that. And probably, so that was kind of expected because I started there, and then I had like I made. When I was like 17 or 18, I made top 16 in a GP, and after that I missed to make day two, like in mm-hmm. two or three Grand Prix, and
hard because like at the beginning not making day two was expected, but then boom, you made top 16, you're like, oh, you know, I did I'm a good player, like I can do this. And then right after that, boom, when you went right back down, you didn't make day two, and you're like, what the heck happened?
yeah. So I always say when I lose, I quit Magic. Always say the same, but I never quit.
So what was your takeaway looking back on that time, you know, and remembering what it was like to go through it? What did you learn? What did you do? What kept you going? How did you move through that time?
I did some bad results, and obviously I was still playing in my locals, in the local tournament, and was good there, so. So that keep me. I keep playing because of that, maybe. And then in Grand Prix Barcelona, I made a good result. And from there, I kept playing.
Did you? So was GP Barcelona your second top 16?
No, actually there. I was 11-1, and I lost my last three rounds.
Oh, okay.
But I was a little bit disappointed after that. But yeah.
I can bet. But you stuck with it, and you kept going, or you kept going to tournaments. You played locally. You kept going to Grand Prix. And what was it that brought you back? I know it's hard. You can't like pinpoint like, oh, this was the one day that I got better at Magic. But over that time period, what were you doing? Like, how were you getting better? What were you focusing on so that you eventually got back to, you know, regular day twos and getting top places?
Yeah. So at that point, like I didn't know what to play. They had just banned the the Eldrazi's. And yeah, it wasn't playing a lot of standard. And I think it was that I started to play more standard. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the Aetherworks Marvel deck, which was great. And I played a lot that deck. And yeah, so I found a great deck, basically.
Okay, so you found your groove, you found a deck, and you just kept playing that.
That was what... Yeah, I kept playing until I found a great deck.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Now, obviously, on the flip side of our lows are our highs. So what has been your proudest Magic moment?
When I qualified for PT25.
Nice. How did you do that?
It was teams, and we were just crashing the tournament. We were winning all rounds 3-0. Like each one of us was winning their game. But one, we won almost all 3-0, but one that was pretty intense. So.
That's awesome. Which event was that?
It was awesome because I have just gone to that PT.
That's so cool.
RPTQ, the RPTQ for the PT25.
Okay. So it was an RPTQ. It was a team event.
Anniversary, yeah.
And your team just did so well.
The tournament was, I don't know, I couldn't lose in that tournament. I don't know if it was just to qualify for the PT, and yeah. But.
Man, I bet that was a good feeling. I bet that felt awesome.
And yeah, I was playing the deck I topated with in GP Brussels.
Oh, wow. Cool.
So Sultai Gift. So, like, we were playing black red, blue control deck, and the third deck seemed always really weak, like green black constrictor, mono green. And I think we had just the best green deck in the tournament. So, yeah.
Man, that's cool. So, qualifying for Pro Tour 25. Was your proudest moment? That's neat because you got to do it with friends and you just were on fire that day and couldn't lose. That's awesome. That's really cool. Well, let's bring it up to present times. Let's talk about GP Brussels 2018. And because you made top 8, you got 6th place there. So congratulations. That's really cool.
Thank you.
We would love to hear about the time before the Grand Prix. When did you choose, because this was a standard event, so when did you choose your deck? How did you choose your deck? What were you looking for? And tell us about your deck selection process. What was that like?
Yeah, so it was the week before the GP, we played the PT, 25th anniversary, and I tested Legacy because I had like tested Legacy for three weeks for the PT, so... I hadn't played standard, and my teammate Ivan De Castro played in the standard seat, and he played Sultai Gift to a really good record, individual 10-4 record. So it was also the deck we played to qualify for the PT. So I just started playing that deck. So basically, it's a deck I have been playing since two months ago.
Okay.
And I just haven't looked to any other deck.
Well, that's great, you know, because I love asking this question because different people go through different processes and we can learn from all of them. You know, like some they look at the meta game and, you know, they come up with the best one and all this stuff. But you had this deck that was working, that you were familiar with. And that's very key. You know, a lot of people talk about the importance of playing a deck that you know and are familiar with. So you had this deck that was working, that you're familiar with. Your teammate just played on the Pro Tour and did well with this. You're like, you know what? I'm just going to keep using this because I know it works. Did you make any changes, though? Did you look at, you know,
So
tweak it?
So first I was playing like Skyrim God like 2 months ago. Then we removed it because it wasn't, we had a lot of black sources and it didn't really go well with deck. Then we tweaked the sideboard to beat mono blue with mangle horns and stuff because mono blue was quite popular. We expected some a decent amount of mono blue in the Pro Tour, so yeah, we changed a little bit the deck for mono blue, and now mono blue has kind of disappeared. So we have removed the mangle horns and yeah, still playing the deck.
Awesome. So I love that process. You know, kind of taking a look and making slight adjustments.
So I want to say, like, normally in standard, not great. It kind of, you kind of have to change deck because, if it's a known deck and people adapt to the deck, you have to change. Because, like Turbo Fog, it's not great now. It was the best deck for the Pro Tour. But now it's kind of bad. But since this deck, people didn't play it, didn't know about the deck at all. So, and yeah, they didn't adapt to it because it wasn't played. So we could continue playing it, and we can still continue playing it until it rotates because of that.
So how did you first find this deck? Because it is kind of interesting that you've been playing this deck for 2 months and there's been several big events and no one has adjusted, you know, to attack this deck and you're still able to use it. So how did you even find this one in the first place?
When Dominaria was came out, when Dominaria came out, well, my friend Ivan De Gastro, Llanowar Elves was released, and he was playing blue red gift, I think, but he didn't like the red a lot because it didn't offer a lot of things, and so the idea was to play a gift deck with Llanowar Elves to ramp up and have the combo faster.
Mm-hmm. That's where it came from. That's cool.
And then we noticed that the deck had a good second game plan. Mm-hmm. It was just attack with creatures and Gear Hulk. We thought that it was the most solid gate deck.
Cool. Man, that's so cool. Just that whole experience of, you know, tweaking a deck and getting it positioned and then doing well with it. Like that's awesome, unique and very awesome. So that's cool. So now you qualified for another Pro Tour. Which one are you going to go to?
Atlanta.
Very nice. Very nice. And how many pro points did you get or do you have now, I guess?
Now I have 15.
Oh, wow.
Without counting the three, at least, from the Pro Tour. So at least I, counting the Pro Tour, I have at least 18. I am trying to see if I can go to some GPs to get silver.
yeah, just two more points, right? That's not bad. It's not bad at all. Now, on this quest, on this journey, you've obviously sat across the table from players of all kinds and skill levels from all over the world. What is the biggest mistake that you've seen players make?
Seen players like over in gameplay, like
either in gameplay or just around Magic, but the biggest mistake that you go, people should probably do that better?
I think sometimes people are over sideboarding too much. Like against me, game one, I just play with the gift deck. I just play 6 non-creator spells, and they bring in duress. And well, I don't think that's great.
So how do you avoid that? So players over sideboard, so they make too many changes after game one. How do you address that? How do you not do that?
What I didn't hear.
Yeah, sorry, cut out. How do you get better at that? How do you avoid over sideboarding?
Over sideboarding. So, I don't like to bring if people bring hate cards against my deck, I don't like to to bring in a lot of cards against their hate. I like to change a little bit my game plan. Like, well, I don't know. It's a tough question. It depends on the deck.
Yeah. So,
but I guess it's having how do I avoid over sideboarding?
Yes.
I mean, I try to have not a complete guide, sideboarding guide, but a sample of that. And yeah, I just try to not hurt the core of my deck.
Yeah. So instead of following a strict, like, card for card guide on what to do, you just have like a sample or kind of like a guideline or idea of what to do against different matchups, and you make sure you don't mess up the core plan of your deck when you're taking stuff out.
Yeah. Also, like, I only over sideboard normally if I have like a really bad matchup against a deck and it's played a lot. Then maybe I put a lot of cards.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
But if I have a lot of grave hate cards against a deck that doesn't play a lot with the grave, but plays graver things, I put like 2 copies of the 5, but I don't put all the 5 copies.
Perfect. Yeah.
An example.
As an example. I got it. So also on your journey and these observations that you've made of other, you know, players and stuff like that, Magic is really cool and interesting because it allows us to observe ourselves in many ways. So what aspects of Magic, or what have you learned from Magic that you've been able to apply to other areas of your life?
Yeah, so in Magic, you do a lot of investigation, and not with logics, but you practice a lot to try to solve problems.
Yeah.
Like, you have a bad matchup, you try to solve that matchup, to change your deck a little bit, to have a better matchup against that deck. So yeah, that's the thing I like most about Magic. Like, yeah. So
So critical thinking and problem solving skills. So yes. You've been able to use, you know, problem solving in your life, obviously.
Yes.
Yeah, like every day, right? There's some new challenge to face or something, and you got to figure out the best way to overcome it with the resources that you have, you know? So I love that. I love how Magic gives us that opportunity to, you know, learn life lessons on a small scale, you know? I think it's cool. I think it's pretty cool. So how have you grown? What's the biggest growth you've experienced from, you know, as a Magic player?
What?
It's like, so your personal growth, like, what have you, how have you grown as a Magic
well,
player?
Well, I still haven't grown. Like, I try to understand that there is variants, like,
mm-hmm.
like sometimes you cannot do a whole lot about a situation. That's what I think that Magic can give you to as you grow.
Yeah.
But I still I am too upset when I lose. And
yeah, something that, you know, many
so I think that that's
with.
The thing that Magic can give you.
Yeah, that's cool. So Nils, what is your best format?
It's definitely a constructed format.
Cool.
I think it's standard. I think that's the format I have more win percentage.
Cool. So what's working right now in standard? Is it still the gifts deck?
Yeah, I recommend gift. I will play gift myself. If not, I don't know, I guess.
Yeah.
I like a lot control. I will play Esper control or Esper control maybe.
What is
so, obviously you are not wrong if you play red black because I don't like to play the most play deck and the best deck if it's not broken.
So you don't like playing the best deck if it's not broken. If it's obviously broken, then you just play it, but if not, then you don't want a big old target painted on your back, so you try and come at it from a different angle.
Yeah.
Very cool. So what advice would you give to players who are still trying to, you know, make day two of a Grand Prix? So what can they do? What tips do you have for them?
So it's really important to have two vice. That's the first thing. Especially in formats like in constructed, I don't know in general, but in legacy where you can, or modern where in the both first rounds you can like play against more random decks, like it's more high variance. Like you can play in round two, one and two against a bad matchup, and even if you are better, you can lose. So first have two buys, and second, let me think.
No, I think that's a really good advice. So do what it takes to get those two buys, you know, so go to those local events like the PPTQs and stuff like that and build up your points so that you can get those two buys. I think that's really good advice. Now, what would you say, what advice do you have for players who, you know, they usually make day two, so they're kind of consistent there on day two, but they haven't made it to, you know, top eight yet. What advice can you give to them?
I treat it as a new tournament, basically.
Okay.
As a second tournament.
Cool.
And so I have not so many pressure. So, like, I just tried to win each round, like, if it was another tournament.
Cool.
And, yeah, I don't know, sleep 8 hours or...
Yeah.
From,
So that's cool. So approach day two like a new tournament. Play one round at a time. Just focus on that one round. Don't... You know, try and clear your head of all the baggage from day one, like, or all this stuff, and make sure that you get a good night's sleep.
If you are 11-0, don't think, oh, I just have to win two more rounds.
No,
normally just play. Like, that's maybe an error I made when I was 11-1 that time. Yeah. I was thinking, oh, two more rounds and I am in the top eight, two more wins. And now I don't do it.
Okay. That's like, good. That's good you don't do that, you know. It takes takes practice to clear your mind like that, for sure. So that's cool. Well, that's really neat. I feel like we've gotten some, you know, some good insights. And do you know which events you're going to be going to next? Because you mentioned you have the Grand Prix, or you have the Pro Tour coming up, and you were going to try and go to a couple more Grand Prix. Do you know which ones you want to go to?
Yeah, so I have in mind, I want to go to GP Stockholm.
Okay.
And probably the one, the standard one, when the first standard European GP. I don't know where is it, but
but wherever it is, we're going to be there. Cool, man. Well, we wish you the best of luck.
I want to test for the Pro Tour.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
I will. That's the one that I want to play more, the standard one.
Okay.
Before the PT and after the release of Pro Tour. Guilds of Ravnica.
Yeah. Very good, man. Very good. Well, best of luck. We love cheering on our guests. So for sure, that'd be cool. Now, Prodigies, I want to remind you, if you want to connect with Nils, you can find him in the Facebook group. We're going to get him in there. It's mtgpro2.com/Facebook group. So Nils, as we wrap things up here, what is a parting piece of guidance that you have for us? It can be something that you already said that you want to emphasize, or something new that you want to leave with us here at the end. Do you have one last tip for us?
I didn't understand.
Not a problem. Do you have one last tip for us? Hold on, we're getting, the connection's pretty bad, so let's try and reset. All right.
Yeah. Yes.
There we go. That seems to be a bit better. Yeah, so do you have a final tip to share with us?
Yeah, I don't know. I liked when I am going to play the GP, try to guess the meta game, and yeah, try to have a deck that has a good win percentage against the next effect. Like in some formats, it's really difficult, like Mother. But in standard, it's pretty easy. Well, it's not easy, but
it's easier
to expect the metagame.
Cool.
And like, if you have a really good meta that you expect a lot, try don't play that.
There you go. Just to recap, yeah, because the connection was kind of bad. Mm-hmm. When you're going to a Grand Prix, take a look at the metagame and pick. Choose a deck that has a good win percentage. Don't play the best deck because everyone's going to be gunning for it. But try and pick a deck that is well positioned. And it should be, it's easier to do in standard. And if you just kind of look at what's out there and what's doing well, you should be able to come up with something to play. So good stuff.
And also, like, I still have to learn, from this, but try to not get to a, to really upset if you lose because you had bad draws.
Yeah.
I still make this error. You should, yeah.
Noted. Awesome. Well, Nils, I want to acknowledge you for your contributions to Multiverse. And I want to thank you so much for taking the time to connect with us, even though you're on the other side of the world in a small town. It was really cool to hear your story, to learn from you, and to get your insights into Magic. So I think, and I believe, that you are a hero among Planeswalkers, and it's been a blast chatting with you. May you never be mana screwed, always draw what you need, and depart every plane victorious.
Thank you, thank you.
And there you have it, episode 302 all wrapped up. Niels, thank you again for being a guest here on the show. Prodigies, of course, you can get the show notes at mtgprotutor.com/Niels Gutierrez, where you will find a synopsis of what we talked about, as well as links to any resources that may have been mentioned. So before we close things out, I do want to say thank you again to Paragon City Games, proud sponsor of the show and the provider of the prize support for our Prodigy Sealed Leagues, one of which is going on right now. You can check them out at ParagonCityGames.com. And of course, thank you to the patrons. The show would not exist without you. So if you are interested in becoming a patron yourself and want to be included in the patron exclusive giveaways that we do each and every month, then go to mtgpro2.com/Patreon. So I hope you have a great weekend. Get out there and play some Magic. If you're headed to the Grand Prix, then good luck. If you're just playing with some friends, well, have some fun. Either way, I hope you have a blast and I can't wait to connect again with you next week. Thank you so much for sticking with the show. It means a lot to me. I love putting these out no matter what's going on, no matter where we are. Like I said, I'm traveling right now. I don't have my fancy equipment, so that's why things may sound a little different. So I don't know if I mentioned this before, but in addition to the podcast, I actually run my own internet marketing company, and I'm at a little conference meeting with other marketers and learning some of my own tips and tricks that I can use for my clients. So it's been a lot of fun out here in Austin, Texas, but definitely look forward to being home with my fam. And so wherever you are in the world, I hope that you have fun, and I can't wait to connect again with you next week. So until then, I'm Sean of the Gathering, and we will see you in the next cast.
This round of MTG Pro Tutor is over. So you don't miss a single episode of MTG Mastery. Be sure to subscribe to the show on your preferred podcast listening service for more exclusive interviews, deck building tips, and elite content. Or visit mtgprotutor.com to stream it straight from the source. We look forward to helping you think and play like a pro.